So we are going to talk about fasting this morning. They're tribe in next door, and the guys are downstairs. But we're going to talk about fasting this morning. Fasting is one of those things where we maybe read about it in the Bible. We're maybe aware of it. We've maybe never had a go at doing it before. Or we maybe thought, well, what's the point of that? Or maybe it's one of those old-fashioned things that you don't have to do anymore. But in fact, when we look at the scripture, we don't have time to do all of the scriptures today. But we can see right from the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, they talk about fasting all the way through, right through to Jesus' times, right through to the early disciples, right through to the book of Acts, when the church is just ready to go, they keep fasting, they keep praying. And this morning we're going to think about fasting. We're going to say, I wonder, Lord, is it for us? Which is kind of a silly question, because I believe it is for us, but hopefully if you have that doubt or that worry in your heart, then you're going to see this morning, wow, fasting is actually a biblical thing. Now, we can fast for other things, like going to the gym or this or that, but we're fasting for Jesus this morning. And that's the kind of fast that we're talking about. Giving up food or giving up something that's precious to us for a period of time to focus on something that's greater, to have a spiritual focus on something else, i.e. Jesus, or praying and believing for breakthrough. When we decide to set aside some time, so normally we're praying and we're just worshiping, but we take it that extra degree and we say, look, Lord, I have a want for this. I have a necessity for that. And the Bible talks about food simply because our bodies are always screaming food. They're always saying, feed me, give me some food, morning, noon, and night, and maybe in between. Maybe you love to snack. I don't know what it is, but morning, noon, and night, our bodies are screaming, feed me. And the crazy thing about it is God knows that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is what Jesus said. Whenever he went into the wilderness for 40 days, before he started his ministry, he went for 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so this morning, we've got to look at that and say, hey, if Jesus needed it, maybe we need it too. And the incredible thing of those 40 days, it says that he went in led by the Holy Spirit. And when he came out of the wilderness after 40 days, it said he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he went in being guided by the Holy Spirit. But when he came out different. And I don't know about you, but I know for sure for me, I need to be different, because there's a lot of things that are happening in this next season. There's lots of things that are going on. And God wants to change us from the inside out. And there's something amazing that happens when we go for this and we say, God, okay, I'm going to give up this or I'm going to give up that. I'm going to dedicate a period of time of my life. And instead of doing that, I'm going to seek after you instead. And as we empty ourselves, God wants to fill us up to overflow. And this is really the heart of what we're talking about this morning. What's really important about fasting is three quick things before we move into why we're doing it as a church this morning. There's three quick things. We have to have a humility. We have to have a humble heart, because as we go to seek God, we don't go for prideful reasons. We don't go for look at me. In fact, the Bible talks about two different clear, distinct fasts, where we can fast individually, which is private, and we don't really want anybody knowing that, because we just want everybody to know that we're just carrying on as normal, because this is between us and God. This is a personal intimacy thing. And then there's the second fast, which is the one that we're doing at the moment as a church. We do it together. So everybody in the church is on board, and we all know, and it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to say, yeah, we're fasting this, we're fasting that. So there's two clear distinctions. But Jesus says this morning, if you want to pursue even deeper levels of me, then fasting is another incredible way to pursue that. And God just calls it to us again and again and again. But to access that, it's to do with our hearts. It's to do with our hearts of humility, our hearts to say, look, I want to have a humble heart and I want to follow after God in the simple commands that he has given us. And as we do that, then we have a goal. Our goal is we have humble hearts, and then we have a focus, and our focus is this. I want to focus on God because I want to know him in different ways. I want to know him in new ways. Or maybe this morning we're going to talk about we have goals that are greater than ourselves. We have goals like we want this to happen or we need this to take place. And we read in the New Testament, we see many times of people being ill or sick and then Jesus stepping in because of his prayer and fasting, and he's able to bring a breakthrough that the other disciples can't bring because they haven't sought the Lord through prayer and fasting. There's just this extra dimension. There's this extra place that we can go to in God. When we empty ourselves, God wants to come and supernaturally fill us. And so this morning, maybe you're in a place where you're like, I think I need breakthrough in my life. I think I need to go after something more. You can join us together corporately as a church fasting, but you can be doing it for personal reasons as well. There is no harm in that whatsoever. God will honor that sacrifice every single time. And then the third thing is this. How do you do it? How on earth do you fast? Because the thought of giving up food is just the most horrendous thing. I don't know. What does it feel like for you? Or maybe to give up social media, or maybe to give up your phone. I don't know what it is, but it's probably something that's pretty important, something that you probably need all the time. It's incredible how we seem to need social media, but God would have talked about food because that actually is a real need. But sometimes we've created these things in our lives that have become needs because we've went after them so much. And so the only way we're going to be able to do it is through God's strength. And this is the incredible thing about fasting and why it's so incredible for our lives. Because it's one of those things where determination alone is not going to get us through. It's not going to be just focus alone that's going to get us through. It's not just pure dedication alone that's going to get us through. We have to surely head the right direction. We surely have to make the right choices. But it's going to be through God's help that we make it. Because when you think about it, we are making ourselves physically weaker to get spiritually stronger. This is just kind of what we're doing. Physically weaker to get spiritually stronger. But in fact, we're not getting physically weaker because God is sustaining us. And so as we give up, he is filling us with more. And this is the heart of fasting. And this has always been the biblical heart of fasting. And so three things that we're doing as a church as we move into this next season. Danielle mentioned that we have a new schedule. And so we, last few years, we've been doing life groups, we've been meeting every week, and it's been really good and really profitable. But some things then have had to sacrifice because we don't have the time. And so over the summer, we've been praying and seeking God, and it's been amazing. If you haven't been to our prayer times, they have been incredible. I am actually enticing you to come, but I'm not condemning you for not being here, but I'm enticing you to come because they have been incredible. And we have seen breakthroughs like you wouldn't believe. They have been amazing. I believe it's fundamentally the reason why iHeartArmada was so successful this year. The reason why things like we saw so many kids come this year to our kids club here, that many people just coming to know God, people giving their hearts to Jesus, just the outreaches that went being Latvia or just being going to further afield or even locally, they have all been as a direct result because we've started to seek God with our prayer. And so if you're free, what we're doing is we're dividing up our schedule to say second and fourth is life groups, first of the month is always prayer, and then the third one is like our team nights or when we come together and encourage each other as teams, because the more that we serve each other, the more that we go for each other, then the more we need to get together just to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves what we're about and refresh ourselves in the values. And so we want prayer for that. We want a breakthrough in that because a new schedule means we want to seek God just for the right guidance, for the right heart, how to initiate that, make sure that that's the right thing, just going after it because we know that's a big thing that will have a fundamental effect on our church. Second thing is this, is that we're fasting and praying over these next 20 days specifically for Next Door because it's a huge, huge, huge project. It's bigger than we've ever stepped into before. And here is the story of Vibe. We've never been this way before. Every time we've went a certain direction, we've never been this way before. This is the new thing. We're pioneers. We've never been here before. There was no one waiting for us to receive us. There was no one ahead of us saying, come this way. This is the way you do it. We've just been taking faith risks all of the time, just saying, God, maybe we'll go this way. Maybe we'll go that way. And God has been so gracious and God has been so good that he's kept us going and he's kept us encouraged. But we're going to step into a huge project for years, maybe a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, whatever way God wants to guide that. But we need his help on that. We need his sustaining power on that. And we need his grace and wisdom. So again, what are we doing? We're pressing deeper through prayer and fasting to say, God, we want to hear your voice clearer than ever before. We want to take away all the distractions, whether if it's social media. I want to take a distraction away, Lord. And I just want to feed on you for those moments or for those times. Lord, whether it's food, I'm always snacking, I'm going for this. Lord, I actually want to just deny myself. God will sustain me, and I want to seek after him. And as we do that, what does that really tell God? This guy is serious. This girl is serious. They are passionate for what they're praying about. They are genuine for the things that they are after. And maybe one of those is the big thing like we're praying for, which is Next Door. Because our heart is this. If you remember the story of Nehemiah, we have mentioned it a few months ago. We're going to start to mention it a lot more over this next few weeks. The story of Nehemiah is the story that God gave us for the building next door. Nehemiah was this incredible guy who was the cupbearer of the king. He had a really important job. He was in a far-off land from his Israelite people, and he was a cupbearer to the king, which doesn't sound like that important because is it just giving cups to the king and he wants to drink and he wants to do this? It's actually vitally important because he would always taste the drink. He would always make sure it wasn't poisoned. So in other words, his life was on the line every single time that he took a drink. His life was on the line. And he would protect the king, and if the drink was good, he'd give it on. And if the drink wasn't bad, there'd be no more Nehemiah. But thankfully, he stayed the course. But one day what happened was he looked afar off. He looked back to see his people, and he recognized that his people were in trouble. And his recognition caused him to fast and pray. And we're going to read it in just a few moments. And as a result, God moved his heart, and he went back to the city he had left years ago, and he rebuilt the walls. Because back in those days, the walls were a sign of security. It's like, I don't know, if you, South Africa, we've been to South Africa, all the homes in South Africa have security fences. If you don't have security fences around your home, chances are somebody's going to burgle you. That's just a clear indication somebody's going to come and take from you. But back in those days, they had security within the walls. So if a city was walled, enemies would look at it and say, hey, there's no point trying to go for that city. It is too strong. Look for something that's more vulnerable. Look for something that's easier. And what God has got our attention with is this, is that God, why did you give us this building right in the center, geographically, right in the center of Armagh, with so much history, with so many things that have come and gone within it over this last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, God, and beyond that, Lord, what is the purpose of this? Surely it's bigger. Surely it's greater than just having a bigger building for vibe. And what God spoke to us was this. It's a Nehemiah project. Nehemiah recognized if he rebuilt the walls, he would restore a people. A broken down people would be restored when the walls would be restored. And that's exactly what happened. He made a physical change, but it impacted spiritually on the hearts and lives of the people. And we'll go into it in more depth over this next few weeks, but what actually happened was, as Nehemiah looked across and had compassion on those further afield from him, he moved to help them. And as he restored the walls, it restored the people in the city, but what it also did, it brought strangers back home. It brought the children of God back home that said, wow, we thought God had abandoned us. We thought we'd messed things up too bad. We thought that God would never forgive us. We thought the graciousness of God had ran out. And because of one man's fasting and praying, because of one man's compassion, because of one man's vision, he restored a whole generation for generation for generation. And I believe this morning, without getting too lofty, I believe it's a God vision. I believe it's a God vision where he has given us this as a precious gift to say, if you'll restore this building, I will restore this city. And so that's the dream. And it's so big, only God could do it. It is so big, only God could bring it to pass. But we're going to play our part as we would fast and pray and just break through into all the strategy and all the guidance and all the significance that God wants to pour into our lives for this next season. So again, that's part of the main reason as a church why we're fasting and praying. And the third thing, which is vitally important as well, is that we're fasting and praying for just growth in our church, because we have been growing as a church, but we want to grow spiritually. We want to have maturity. The Bible tells us that God wants us to get on to solid foods. We love babies. Got babies this morning. I've got another baby coming in 5 weeks. It's going to start off on just milk, and then it's going to grow and grow and grow until it gets to solid foods. And that is my heart's desire. And it's going to keep growing, and then it's going to ask for lots of money, and then it's going to ask for cars and all sorts of things. And I'm going to say no, no, no. But that baby is going to keep asking. But it's going to keep growing, and my heart's desire is it would mature and eventually become a man or woman in its own strength that could eventually have kids as well. And that's God's heart for us as individuals, as Christians this morning, is that we would grow in our faith, that we wouldn't just be on milk, that we would grow and grow and grow. And so this morning, what are we doing? And over this next 21 days, we are praying and fasting for each one in this place that we would grow into being mature sons and daughters, which God has called us to be. Mature sons and daughters that look after each other, that are there for each other, that yes, spend time with the Lord, but also spend time with each other, that are willing to house move somebody, that are willing to go and move somebody in, willing to go and paint, willing to go and get shopping for someone, willing to go and do this, go and do that. In other words, be the people of God, be like Jesus, like the way he was here on this earth. This is what God has called us to be, and this is what we're going after in these next 21 days. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. We're going to read it together. I think we got it. There we go. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. This is the early church. They did it all the time in the book of Acts. It's the place where the early church was birthed. The Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2. And then right through Acts, this is a recurring theme. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. You see, it's a thing after salvation. It's a thing after the cross. It was right there in those days, and it's right here today. The Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, what we're going to do with Josh at the very end of our service, then they sent them off. They were going out into a whole new world. Josh is going off to Cork. Our goal is to fast and pray to bring breakthrough. Because what does fasting typically mean? It simply means this, another reason. We're denying ourselves and we're recognizing that others are greater than me. We're recognizing that I need the Lord more than I need myself. And so I'm going to create more room and going to create more space. And as they fasted and prayed, look what happened. It said the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and he just started speaking words, commands into their hearts. I don't know about you, but that's another good reason for me to fast and pray. I want to know the voice of the Lord really sharp. I want to know his voice. I want to put myself in a position where I just recognize his voice so well that I have no doubts. I just go after that voice and no other voice will I follow. No other voice will I follow because I know his voice. And so this morning, maybe you need to hear the voice of the Lord in a fresh way. Maybe you just need to read the Bible and you want it to just jump out in the page because it's just becoming dry and maybe even boring. Can we say that? Sometimes it can become boring. It's okay to say that. We're not going to lose our faith by saying that. That's just a reality. Sometimes we pray and it can become boring because we lose our freshness. We become dry and we become empty. And through this time of prayer and fasting, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to refresh us. He's going to renew us and we're going to hear his voice in a whole new way. And at the end of it, it says, after they had fasted and prayed, they reiterated again. They fasted and prayed. They placed hands on them and they sent them off. In other words, they sent them off with power. They sent them off with boldness because they had dedicated their hearts to the Lord in a fresh way. And they said, Lord, not us, but him. Not us, but you, Lord. Come and fill us. Come and change us. Come and do something that only you can do. And so as the early church did it, this is something that God's calling us to do. And so what direction? Maybe you need direction in your life. Fasting and praying is a great one. They need a direction of where do we go next, Lord? What way does the church need to go next? It's a crucial time in the early church. Where do we go next, Lord? They fasted and prayed for direction. Maybe you need fresh direction in your life. They fasted and prayed for fresh intimacy. Maybe you need intimacy in your life. And you're thinking, Lord, I feel like my relationship with you has drifted. I feel like I'm just not hearing you in the ways that I used to hear you. I feel like when I read, it's not jumping out on the page like it used to do. Again, fasting and praying can just bring that freshness, inner intimacy. And of course, guidance. Guidance for the next step, which is one of the big ones that we're doing it for. But as we fast in these special seasons, God fills us in fresh ways. And that's, again, a heart of God and why he calls us to do it. And we take aim as we fast. I want to read this in Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to read 11 and 12. Just an incredible portion of Scripture. The backdrop to before this, just for the sake of time, I'm going to just give it to you, is that there was two different types of fasting that the people would go after. They were going after fasting that was just about themselves. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And then there was the right kind of fasting. And God was trying to show the people in the book of Isaiah that if you go after the right kind of fasting, look at the promises that are going to flow in your life. I'm going to read it this morning, and then I'm going to list off 10 quick promises that God is going to give us as we would fast and pray. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. This is God speaking about his people as they would fast and pray. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you go, do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Your people will rebuild ancient ruins. Listen to this in terms of our hearts for next door. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Wow. This is the Lord's word for us back in the day, but it's also for us today. Back to encourage us, back to remind us that we are restorers of walls, that we are restorers of wells, that we are people that restore things, that redeem things. And the closer that we get to God, fasting is another incredible way to get close to God. The closer we get to him, the more we become like him and the more impact that we have. Here's 10 quick things, these amazing promises that God wants to give us as we would fast and pray. Number one, light. It says that our light will break forth like the dawn. In other words, we will just burst forth. We will just grow. We will just blossom. Our light will shine. The goodness of God is in our lives will just shine forth. It will just break forth. And so light is an important one. Second one, our health. It talks about that we will be healed. So as we fast and pray, healing is right there because we're with Jesus. And so as we fast and pray, healing is another promise. Righteousness is another promise. We become right with God. We understand the righteousness of God. We understand our identity in God. We understand our value in God as we fast and pray. Number four, glory. We recognize and feel the glory of God. It talks about the glory of God being our rear guard. In other words, he's all around us. He just sustains us. He encompasses us. He surrounds us with his peace and with his glory. Number five, answered prayer is another incredible one for fasting and praying. As we fast, we just can see higher degrees of answered prayer. We just see God answer in fresh ways. Continual guidance, satisfaction. We want to be satisfied as people. This is what God guarantees as we fast and pray. He will promise to satisfy us and all other things will fade away. Number eight, refreshing. And then the last two is this, work that endures. As we would fast and pray, God says that your life is going to be a life that's going to endure. There's going to be a work inside of you that's not only going to be established, but it will endure the seasons of life. All things I know, need, maybe you need as well. And then lastly, restoration. Restoration from broken things. Restoration in other people's lives. Restorations of buildings. Restorations of people. Restorations of dreams. Restoration of visions. What are the things that the enemy has stolen from us? As we come and fast and pray, we're able to break through in ways that we've never broken through before as God moves and thrives through us. And so this morning, church, God is calling us. He's yearning us to intimacy. And that's really the heart of fasting. It's not necessarily about what we give up. It's what we're getting in return. As we would make room, he comes and he fills us. It's that intimacy in our lives that God is craving for, because he knows as we get closer to him, we become more like him and less likely to be affected by the things that would disturb us in the world around us. And so, church, this morning, God is calling us. He's yearning us to come and fast and pray. We read it earlier. It says, Nehemiah 1:4 says this, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. When I heard these things. When Nehemiah looked to a far off land and he saw how broken his people were, he wept. This morning, maybe you're in a place where you're looking out into your family. You're maybe looking out into your kids. You're maybe looking out to Armagh. You're looking out to the towns around you. By the way, day number two is that we're praying for our city, but also the towns that we live in. That's our prayer focus today. Maybe today as you look out, maybe today as you fast and pray, that God's breaking your heart in a new way. Maybe he's breaking your heart in a way that he's never done before, but you're actually getting overcome and overwhelmed by people's brokenness in their lives. That's actually a Jesus thing. It's actually a God thing. And the closer that we move to God, the more compassion we will have in the lost. The more compassion we will have in broken people. The more compassion we'll have for the things of God and for the people of God. And it said, as Nehemiah looked out, he says, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned. Imagine that. When do we mourn? We mourn when death comes. We mourn when we have significant loss. But when Nehemiah looked out, even though he was fine, he was in the king's courts, he had an incredible job, he was living well, his life was rosy, everything was good on his side. But he looked across at a foreign land and he saw his people, or his homeland, from a foreign land. And he saw his people broken. He saw his people abused. He saw his people despised and rejected. He saw his people far from God. And what does it say? He mourned as if it was like a death. He mourned with loss, because he said, that is not the way it should be. And so maybe as we go into these 21 days of prayer and fasting, our heart is this, Lord, I'm not sure if I have the compassion that you want me to have, but Lord, teach me to have more over this next season. Lord, reveal to me more. Break my heart for the things that you want it to be broken for, and allow me to be moved with compassion like Nehemiah. It says he sat down and he mourned and he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then God gave him an incredible plan to restore the walls, which eventually restored the people. You see, as we fast and pray, God reveals things. We hear things in fresh ways. This is what Esther said. Esther was an incredible woman. Again, I remind you of the story. She was an incredible woman of God who was in the king's court as well. In fact, she had got word that the king was going to eradicate all the Jewish people, which was her people, the Israelites. And they came to her, and Mordecai comes to her, it was her uncle, and said, hey, Esther, you've got to stand up. You've got to stand up for the people of God. But Esther knew one thing. She said, I am not allowed to go to the king's court. I am one of the king's wives, but I'm not allowed to go to the king's court. She says, if I go, I'll surely die. This is what she says. Let's read it together. She was in a difficult season. She needed courage and direction. Esther speaks this. She says, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king. And watch this last part. Though it is against the law, if I die, I die. I'm going to the king. Though it is against the law, if I die, I die. In those moments, Esther said, I've got to get alone with the Lord. But I know that I will not be able to do it if you don't join with me in fasting and praying. Because she remembered the days of gone by when people would fast and pray, and then suddenly extra courage would come, extra direction would come, extra breakthrough would come. God would move in ways that they've never seen before. And when Esther was put in an impossible position where it was her life or her people's life, she decided to go and risk her life for the fact that she could maybe set her people free. And it only came because she went into fasting and praying, and she called other people around her to fast and pray. And so what about us this morning? Maybe we need courage. Maybe we've been put in an incredible position. Maybe we've been put in a place where we just don't even know what to do next. We need guidance. We need courage. We need direction. We need God's heart. Esther, just like she did back then, maybe it's exactly what we need to do today. We go and we fast and pray. We say, Lord, it's not about me. I need breakthrough for me. I need breakthrough from me. Maybe that's what your breakthrough needs to be. I need breakthrough from me because I want to go after God in ways that I've never went after him before. Esther went before the king, and if you remember the story, and if not, I remind you of it. She did not die. She saved her people. She saved her people. Through fasting and praying, she was able to go further than she'd ever been before. You see, for Esther, this was the thing that God really wanted to put into our hearts today as we're getting close to a finish, is this, is that we can look at fasting as optional. Yeah, you know, I'll kind of fast if it suits me. You know what I mean? We kind of, everything about our lives today is very, very much optional. You know, if I don't need to do it, does God really need me to do it, then yeah, I kind of leave it, you know. Yeah, I'll do the other things that are really important or whatever it is. We're really good at making excuses. We're really good at being optional. But for Esther, she didn't see fasting as optional. She saw it as, I've got to get this. This is life or death. This is a necessity. I've got to fast and pray because my people are dependent on me, and I need that strength, and I need that infilling, and I need that breakthrough in my life because I'm cautious that if I make one mistake before the king, it could be the end of my people. It could be the end of my generations. And so the Lord is saying this to us today without getting super heavy. He's saying this, you've got to live for something greater than yourself. You've got to live for something greater than yourself. You were destined to reign with Christ. If you were destined to reign with Christ, then you were destined to rule with Christ. And if you were destined to reign and rule with Christ, which is what we're called to do, then you're living greater than yourself. You're living for something bigger. And in this moment, in this day, are you living for something bigger than yourself? I'm even speaking something greater than your family, because your family is your family. I'm saying, are we living for something greater, for something bigger? Nehemiah was living for something bigger. Jesus was living for something bigger. Esther was living for something bigger. In fact, she was willing to die. And what does Esther remind us of? Remind us of Jesus. He did die. The goodness of God meant that Esther didn't have to die, but Jesus did die because he was willing to live for something greater. In fact, he was willing to die for something greater. And I want to encourage you this morning. It can look like it's an optional thing. It can look like it's just one of those things. Yeah, maybe do it sometime. I think when God gets our heart, and we recognize what's at stake, and we recognize the power that we have inside of us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will say, Lord, I've got to fast and pray. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm not sure how I'm going to give this thing up or that thing up, or I'm not sure how I'm going to get through. But Lord, would you take the weakness of me, and would you fill me and sustain me and make me strong? And this is what the Lord is asking for this morning. The Lord is here. And he wants to draw us closer. His intimacy is here, and he wants to bring us closer. Maybe we need to know God better. Maybe we need to know his presence, his voice, his heart, his tenderness, his words of affirmation, his words of love. What are the things that we need this morning? God is saying, I've got great things out there. I need you to be a part of something greater than yourself, but it's up to you. It's up to you, and it's up to our choices, and it's up to our decisions. Can we stand this morning? We're going to finish. And as the guys are getting ready, I want to finish off with just a few practical things. We're talking about fasting. I believe in the Lord's going to touch your heart with fasting. As we fast, we get closer to God. But I want to just remind us of this, just the guys are getting geared up. As we're fasting, we get closer to God. And the closer that we get to God, the more intimate our relationship becomes. And every single time we come close to God, every single time, something new is birthed. Because intimacy always brings new birth. In a few weeks' time, we're going to have a new baby. That came from intimacy. You didn't get to see the intimacy part, thank goodness. But you're going to get to see the evidence. It's true. You didn't get to see that part, thank goodness. And we don't get to see the intimacy that we have with the Lord. None of us get to see that. Now, you can come in and tell me that, oh, I've been spending hours with God, and I've seen this and I've seen that. But I tell you what, you can't fool anyone. If you haven't spent time with God, then your belly ain't going to stick out. Something has to change on the outside. If something is taking place on the inside, something's going to change on the outside. There's an evidence. And the Lord says this morning, if you will come close to me, I will birth things in your life. I will rebirth things in your life. I will transform things in your life like you cannot believe. Because every time you come close to the Lord, something happens. Because intimacy always brings new birth. The Lord reminds of it over and over and over again. Imagine, he says, when we come close to him, we become new creations in Christ. That's new birth. Whenever we give our hearts to Jesus, what happens? New birth. What's the most precious thing that the Lord gives us? New birth, that we can actually create new life. Because he wants to continuously remind us, intimacy brings new birth. Intimacy brings new life. Maybe in your life, you need something birthed. Maybe in your life, there's breakthrough that you need to see happen, maybe for yourself, maybe for your family. Maybe you don't even want it for yourself because you don't feel that great about yourself, but you know you need to see it for your family. You need to see it for your family. You need to see breakthrough. You need to see something happen. And the Lord says this morning, as we would draw close to him, as we would get intimate with him, things would change and things would be birthed. Over this next 21 days, we added a few suggestions at the bottom of the page. I want to encourage you, take one of the sheets, and if you don't remember, get it online. It's online. But every day we have a daily focus, and every day we want to remind you of this. It's not about what you're giving up. It's about what you're doing instead. It's about what you're doing instead. There's no point giving it up to just not eat. That means you're just dieting. You're just having a good diet for the next 21 days. And we'll see evidence of it because you might get slimmer, but something spiritually might not have happened at all. And so there's got to be a transformation. There's got to be something else instead. And so I want to encourage you practically, as you would go for fasting, maybe you're going to fast like a Daniel fast. Daniel fasted in the Bible. We hadn't time to share today. But he gave up. He had to. He had to give up meat. He had to give up solid food, and he just went in fruit and veg only. All the sweet things, all the meat things, he gave them up. And he said fruit and veg only, and he sought God, and God blessed his life. Maybe you go liquid only. I wouldn't advise that one unless you've tried it before. That is one that's going to take extra degrees that God's going to have to work you up to. So be wise. But maybe you want to do it for a couple of days. We put down, maybe you want to do it for 3 days. Maybe you want to start off, do a couple of days, see how you go. Again, you won't do it in your own strength. You'll only do it in God's strength. You got to have humility of heart. You got to have a clear focus. You got to have a goal in front of you. You've got to say, God, I'm doing this through your strength, because you will not be able to do it through your own strength. But as you do, remember that. It's not about so much what you're giving up. It's about what you're going to do instead. Reading, praying, worshiping. All those key things to draw us closer to God. Because the closer we get to him, the more he's going to fill us. Amen? Can we pray this morning, then we're going to worship? Lord, this morning, your heart for fasting is intimacy. Lord, let us not make any mistakes in that. Your heart for fasting is intimacy. Lord, you know the complexities and the busyness of our lives. You know that even eating can dominate our lives, because our kind of selfish man inside of us says, I've got to eat here, I've got to go do this, I've got to go online here, I've got to do this, whatever it is. There are so many things that are needs in our lives. But the Lord wants to teach us something really fundamental when we come to fast, is that you need me more than anything else. You've just forgotten it. You've just forgotten it. But trust me, as you would even give up food, the body needs food so much, but if you would even give that up, if you would trust me even in that, I will show you how you need me so much more. But here's the thing, church, as we pray. Sometimes it's really hard to know how much you need him until you start giving a lot of things up, until you start making a few sacrifices. And then as we press in and we sacrifice and we ask God to do it in his strength through us, we suddenly go, wow. This is what I've been after. This is the breakthrough I needed. This is the revelation I needed. This is the guidance I needed. This is the answer prayer I needed. This is the healing I needed. This is what I needed. I pursued God and I found him in a completely new way. And so, Lord, this morning I pray you would bless us and equip us. you would make our hearts humble, Lord, that we would have a clear focus in front of us and we would say, hey, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for others. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would woo us because your intimacy is so good, we forget it. We get consumed with so many other things. But Lord, your intimacy changes us. And I pray, Lord, as you would draw us and woo us this morning, that, Lord, that you would birth something fresh in our lives over this next season that everybody would know. Everybody would know. Because they would see the clear evidence of God all over your life and the breakthroughs that are following you. So, Lord, I thank you this morning, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. I pray you just charge us. Just fire us up, Lord. Draw us. Bring us closer to your heart. And let us worship you in ways that we've never done before. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Church, this morning, just we've been talking about fasting and just reminding our hearts about it. But I think practically, the Lord just wants to encourage us to say this, that, you know, we do baby steps in everything because it's hard to go from this to super. And God's not expecting any of that. He just sees the attitude of our hearts. He sees the direction that we're heading. And I just want to encourage you that fast is one of these practical, incredible things that we can go for. But God knows where we're at. He always knows where we're at. And I just want to encourage you, baby steps are far greater than big leaps that don't last. And so just do baby steps. Encourage your heart. Build up. Give it a go. Surprise yourself. Take one of those forms with you and surprise yourself with what the Lord can do if our hearts are just dedicated to him. And watch how you can be part of something bigger and be part of a bigger story. Lord, I just thank you this morning that, Lord, you're after our hearts, Lord, to change our hearts, to mold our hearts, to shape our hearts, Lord. There's nothing more precious to you than our hearts, Lord. In fact, there's nothing more precious to us than our hearts, but sometimes we just abuse it all over the place. And Lord, I pray this morning that you're just drawing us closer to yourself. Intimacy, Lord, worship. Intimacy and worship. And I pray, Lord, as we go after this fasting thing, this is not about hard work. This is about worshiping the King of Kings. And so, Lord, I just really pray, Lord, for just supernatural strength, but even supernatural boldness, just to give it a go. Give it a go. And then the confidence through you, Lord, to give it another go and another go. And to stick on the daily prayer focus and watch what the Lord is going to do. I thank you, Lord, for every heart this morning. Thank you for every family that's just even here, Lord, and just the representation of every family. Bless our kids downstairs. Bless our teens next door. Bless everybody in this room. Lord, we are blessed people, and we thank you for all the things that you're doing and continue to do. Lord, bless us this week as we go after you in fresh and new ways. And remind us again, we are part of something bigger. In Jesus' name, amen.